welcome inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Lots of things going on with the Eagles, and we're going to bring in Lance Zierlein of the SidelineView.com, who also writes about the Houston Texans for the Z Report for the Houston Chronicle. And Lance, let's stick right with those Texans. The Eagles obviously added two former Texans to this team. Let's start on offense with the versatile playmaker, James Casey. And I know you think that he was a bit underutilized in Houston. What does he bring to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think the fact that he doesn't really fit into one particular position is actually, used to be called those guys tweeners, and then they were hurt by it. And, of course, James Casey, I think, was hurt by it from a draft stock standpoint. He fell to the fifth round. But when you look at what he's capable of doing, I think it's actually a benefit. And then when you look at what Chip Kelly potentially could be doing offensively, I think that's an even greater benefit for James Kelly and for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a guy that catches almost everything. He's very sure hands. He's a willing blocker. I won't say he's definitely not a tight end, an end-line tight end where he sits there on the line of scrimmage and has to block defensive ends and outside linebackers in a 3-4. That's not his forte. It's not his strength. He's willing to do it. But that's not, I'd say he's probably below average from what you want there. Now, as far as a fullback who will ISO on a linebacker and go hit somebody, he'll do that. He doesn't jar people, doesn't move them backwards. But like I said, he's gotten better as a blocker, and he's definitely functional as that. But, he's a guy that can run the football a little bit, not a whole lot. Was the backup quarterback at Rice, as a matter of fact. A lot of people don't realize that he would have been the emergency quarterback and not the second-string quarterback. And he is quicker in space than you think he is. He's not going to have great time speed, and he's not going to have great long speed, but he's got good short area quickness. So he's a guy that you can flex out at wide receiver and then move back in motion back in towards a crackback situation. You can play him at fullback. You can play him as kind of a wingback on your three tight sets. You can play on a lot of different positions, and I think Chip Kelly, that's one of the reasons why the Eagles probably targeted James Kelly James Casey is because Casey's just so diverse in where you can put him around the field, and because you have that diversity, you never really know as a defensive coordinator, all right, are we going to count him as a fullback? Are we counting him as a tight end? Like, how are we going to count him from our personnel grouping? So he can create personnel grouping issues for defense. And it's strange because it's not like he's the most dominant player, and it's not like statistically he's going to end up having this monster year for the Eagles, but he just creates matchup problems because he is so hard to categorize.
Now, Lance, it's interesting following you on Twitter right after the Eagles signed James Casey. I think you mentioned in 2011 he had a game against the Saints in which he was used sort of as the primary guy, and then Howie Roseman, when he was talking about the signing, mentioned that Saints game. What was it about that game that stood out?
Well, I mean, the Saints game, they utilized him as a fullback. It was his first year as a fullback for the Texans. He was a fullback for two different years. And in that one, he really caught the ball exceptionally well. He had a touchdown pass. He ran a wheel route out of the backfield and got ISO'd on a linebacker and, beat the linebacker down the field, but then had to make a diving catch that ended up going for a touchdown in that game. And it was just an absolutely fantastic play all the way around. And what it probably did for the Eagles and for Roseman, that's one of those players you say, there's the hands, there's the versatility, there's the ability to create a matchup issue on a linebacker. That's the kind of play where you go, wow, I see the potential of what could be. And there are more plays like that. I mean, depending on how you want to use your tight ends and your fullback, before you know it, you could take what looks like you could have James Casey line up as a fullback. You could have one tight end and two wide receivers. Looks like just a basic pro formation. But before you know it, you're splitting your tight end out, and James Casey is lined up in the slot, and you're going, and McCoy is going in motion, and all of a sudden you're five wide. So that's why I think the versatility, James Casey is going to be a piece of the puzzle, is my guess for Chip Kelly. Chip will want to utilize him to create confusion for defenses, but it's not just going to be Casey. I think it's going to be Casey in conjunction with other players, other skilled players.
Flipping sides of the ball then, Lance, obviously the Eagles also brought in Connor Barwin, and as this defense sort of transitions to at least some 3-4 looks, they brought in a guy who is experienced as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Yeah, I think Connor Barwin, I was disappointed with Connor's season last year. I really didn't think he played all that well And I'd set the bar pretty high for Connor. He had set it pretty high for himself based on what he did the year prior. But last year, it really looked like teams just said, look, we're not going to let – we don't know if this guy can beat us around the edge. And the Houston Texans run a lot of games up front with their TE and ET twists that they run. So let's really not overset and get too far wide with our tackles and pass protection. Let's make Connor Barwin prove that he can beat us through the edge. And he had a hard time doing that. He's a high-effort guy. He does have some versatility to drop into coverage. He's a good athlete, but doesn't have the great edge quickness. So, you know, I think what you're going to see from Connor Barwin, it'll be interesting to see if he comes in maybe a little lighter with the Eagles or heavier. I don't know, depending on how the Eagles would like to utilize him. But he is a solid player, but and solid against the run, for what the Texans asked him to do. But he definitely needs to improve his game from where he was last year as a pass rusher. It looked a little better towards the end of the year, but he needs to get closer to that 2011 form. And some of that was just, you know, he was just very good at two-way goes. He would beat a guy on the inside, which would set up the ability to go outside. He's got to get that versatility again where he's utilizing an inside and outside pass rush strategy.
Now, one of the questions is, you mentioned that he went from 11.5 sacks in 2011 to 3 sacks last season. Was he used differently at all defensively? I know that Howie Roseman had mentioned that maybe he was more a little bit on the open side in 2011.
Yeah, well, he was. Well, he was moved over. See, he started on the strong side in 2011, but then moved over to the open side when Mario Williams went down. You know, and it looked like that was a good fit for him. Well, then, when the season started, he was on the open side, which is, you know, the side where you're primarily rushing, and Brooks Reed was playing the strong side. But when Brooks Reed went down, they had to move Connor Barwin over to the strong side, and Whitney Mercilus, the first-round draft pick, stepped in on that open side, which would also be considered the weak outside linebacker in a 3-4. And so, you know, but strangely enough, I think Connor Barwin's best spot is that strong side. I think in a 3-4, his best side is, because he's not a premier edge pass rusher, I think his best side is the ability to rush and blitz from time to time or drop into coverage. I think that's probably what suits his talents best, is playing the strong side, not playing on the open side.
Now, finally, Lance, in addition to scouring the Houston Texans, you're also a big draft guy, and your father, Larry, was a longtime offensive line coach, both in college and in the NFL, so you know those offensive linemen well, and two guys maybe in play for the Eagles at number 4, Eric Fisher and Luke Jokel. Compare and contrast those guys for us, and tell us if you think they'd be good fits in Philadelphia.
I think both of them would be great fits for Philadelphia. Both are... You know, I think Eric Fisher maybe is a slightly better athlete than Jokel. But when it comes to technique and soundness of the offensive line play, you're going to have a hard time. There's no one in this draft that's going to touch Luke Jokel. I mean, I talked to Jokel at his pro day and asked him why, you know, how his technique, how it was so refined already as a junior. And he said his dad, who was a college offensive lineman at Texas Tech, his dad started teaching him hand placement when he was in Pee Wee football. So he said, really, it's been ingrained in him. You know, proper hand placement, working your feet the right way. The technique stuff has been taught to him from an early age, which makes total sense. When you see him mirror defensive linemen who are trying to pass rush, it's just, you know, it's just really, really top-notch stuff. Eric Fisher is not quite the technician that Jokel is, but from an athletic standpoint, he's definitely up there and probably a little bit better than Jokel. I think Jokel will end up going ahead of Fisher, but really, there's such a small gap between the two, I don't think it really matters. Fisher's got the nice long arms, sometimes leans into his run blocks a little more than you'd like and needs to make sure he brings his feet. But, you know, you want to make sure that you stay engaged as long as you can on those run blocks. But from a run block and pass pro standpoint, solid, solid prospect. And I think either one of those guys would be good fits for the Eagles. And I know, obviously, they want to upgrade that offensive line. So, I think if one of them falls there, it's going to be hard to pass on one.
Great insight, Lance. We appreciate the time. You can follow Lance at the Z Report on the Houston Chronicle and also thesidelineview.com, where he teams up with our buddy Adam Kaplan. Thanks again, Lance.
I appreciate it, guys.